Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Fractured Age: How the Return of Geopolitics Will Splinter the Global Economy by Neil Shearing is a contemporary economics and geopolitics book about the changing structure of globalization. Shearing, Group Chief Economist at Capital Economics, argues that the post-Cold War period of deep economic integration is giving way to a more fragmented system shaped by strategic rivalry, especially between the United States and China. The book does not present globalization as simply ending. Its central claim is that trade, investment, technology, finance, and supply chains are being reorganized around political trust, security concerns, and bloc alignment. Shearing examines how governments increasingly treat economic links as sources of leverage or vulnerability, and how companies and investors must adapt to a world where efficiency is no longer the only organizing principle. The book is aimed at readers who want a practical framework for understanding global economic risk, not just a commentary on current diplomatic tensions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, fracturing is a reordering of globalization, not a collapse of global trade. A defining contribution of the fractured age is its distinction between deglobalization and fracturing. Shearing argues that the evidence does not support a simple story in which globalization reverses across the board. Trade, capital flows, migration, and cross-border business activity remain substantial by historical standards. What is changing is the pattern of those connections. Economic ties are becoming more conditional on political alignment, national security priorities, and perceived resilience. This matters because a world of fracturing can look superficially globalized while operating according to different rules. A firm may still source internationally, but it may avoid suppliers in rival jurisdictions. A government may still support trade, but only with countries regarded as reliable partners. The practical implication is that aggregate statistics can understate the severity of change. Global trade may remain high, yet particular industries can be radically reorganized. Shearing, therefore, frames the new era as one of selective separation, where sensitive sectors are pulled apart while less strategic flows continue. This approach avoids both nostalgia for frictionless globalization and exaggerated claims of economic isolation. Secondly, U.S.-China rivalry turns markets, supply chains, and technology into strategic terrain. The book places the deteriorating relationship between the United States and China at the center of the new economic order. Shearing treats this rivalry as structural rather than dependent on one election cycle or leader. The dispute is not only about tariffs or trade balances. It concerns technological leadership, military security, control over standards, access to critical inputs, and the political consequences of interdependence. Sectors such as semiconductors, advanced computing, green technology, smartphones, energy, and critical minerals become especially important because they connect commercial value with strategic power. In this setting, export controls, investment screening, sanctions, industrial policy, and technology bans are not temporary distortions of markets. They are instruments of competition. Shearing shows why companies operating across both systems face growing pressure to choose architectures, suppliers, customers, and compliance frameworks that fit one side more than the other. The reasoning is direct when economic assets can be weaponized. Governments will not leave allocation entirely to price signals. Security logic enters business decisions, and the boundary between economic policy and foreign policy becomes increasingly difficult to maintain. Thirdly, bloc formation makes alliances economically valuable but politically unstable. Shearing expects the global economy to organize increasingly around blocs, with a United States-aligned group and a China-aligned group as the main poles. The United States side includes many advanced economies and security partners, while China has closer ties with countries such as Russia and Iran, along with influence in parts of the developing world. The important point is not that these blocs are fixed or perfectly coherent. Shearing emphasizes that alignment is shaped by incentives, vulnerabilities, and bargaining power. Countries may prefer to trade with both sides, but pressure can intensify when supply chains, technology platforms, payment systems, or security commitments become incompatible. This is why alliances gain economic value. Trusted partners offer more than diplomatic support. They provide access to markets, finance, energy, minerals, manufacturing capacity, and technological ecosystems. At the same time, bloc politics can be unstable because not all members share the same exposure or priorities. Europe, Japan, South Korea, India, Brazil, Mexico, Vietnam, and other middle powers may experience the fractured age differently. The book is strongest when it shows that friendship in economics is not sentimental. It is a calculation about dependency, trust, and strategic risk. Fourthly, the costs of fracturing are real, but they depend on where the fault lines fall. The fractured age does not argue that fracturing will automatically produce a 1930s-style collapse. Instead, shearing assesses the costs as uneven, sector-specific, and highly dependent on policy choices. If separation is limited mainly to geopolitically sensitive areas, the efficiency losses may be manageable. If governments push broad decoupling across ordinary trade, finance, and production, the costs would rise sharply. The reasoning is rooted in basic economics. Global integration allowed firms to specialize, scale production, reduce duplication, and source inputs from the most efficient locations. Fracturing weakens some of those gains by forcing redundancy, reshoring, friendshoring, and compliance complexity. Yet it can also reduce exposure to coercion or disruption. Shearing therefore presents resilience and efficiency as a trade-off rather than a moral contrast. One important implication is price volatility. A fractured system may not always generate permanently higher prices, but it can make supply shocks more frequent and harder to absorb because markets are thinner and less flexible. For policymakers, the challenge is to protect strategic capacity without turning every commercial dependency into a security emergency. Lastly, middle powers and firms must adapt through selective alignment and resilience planning. A practical dimension of the book is its attention to the countries and businesses caught between the main powers. India, Vietnam, Mexico, Brazil, and other states may benefit from supply chain rerouting as companies reduce direct exposure to China or seek production bases inside more trusted networks. However, shearing also suggests that these gains come with constraints. Middle powers can exploit competition among larger economies, but they may not be fully free to avoid choices in sensitive sectors. Access to advanced technology, defense relationships, financing, and major consumer markets can all create alignment pressure. For firms, the fractured age requires a different approach to risk management. Traditional cost optimization is insufficient when sanctions, export controls, political retaliation, or sudden regulatory shifts can disrupt operations. Companies need to map supplier exposure, understand jurisdictional risk, diversify critical inputs, and decide where dual market strategies are still viable. Investors face similar questions about capital flows, currency exposure, and political risk premia. The book thus moves beyond diagnosis by showing why adaptation is gradual, strategic, and uneven. The winners are likely to be those that anticipate friction rather than treat it as a temporary interruption. In conclusion, The Fractured Age is best suited for readers who need to interpret economic change through a geopolitical lens. Policymakers, executives, investors, economists, supply chain specialists, and serious general readers of international affairs. Its practical benefit lies in giving names and structure to changes that often appear as separate events, such as tariffs, export controls, technology bans, sanctions, industrial subsidies, and supply chain relocation. Shearing connects them as symptoms of a broader shift from hyperglobalization to politically conditioned integration. Intellectually, the book stands out because it resists the easy claim that globalization is simply ending. It argues instead that the world economy is being splintered, with some flows continuing and others reorganized around trust and power. Compared with many books on globalization, it is less focused on inequality or cultural backlash and more focused on the mechanics of bloc formation, strategic sectors, and economic statecraft. Compared with many books on geopolitics, it gives more attention to trade, finance, firms, and macroeconomic consequences. Its limits are also worth noting. The bloc framework can understate the autonomy and complexity of middle powers. Even so, the book offers a clear and useful framework for understanding why economic decisions increasingly depend on political alignment. If you would like to support Neil Shearing, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.